Almighty God, we thank you, Lord, that we can always look to your word and always look into your word to find out the schemes of the devil, what he tries to do to your people, to your church, to your leadership again and again. It's been the same since the beginning of time, since the Garden of Eden. Nothing has changed. And if we're just humble enough to come to you for answers and not create our own answers for the problems that we have, that you're faithful to give us solutions. We thank you, Lord, in the name of your Son, our King, Jesus Christ, in whom we should fight for. Amen.
Amen.
So we're going to be continuing our sermon series in the book of Titus. We spoke about how Titus is politically incorrect. If you want to be a Christian, you have to be politically incorrect.
Amen.
Especially in today's day and age. And the title of today's sermon is The Church of Social Justice. We are no longer a church, and I'm talking to Americans here because we're in America. They've gone through this a long time ago in Europe. But we're all about made-up problems and making problems our idol. That certain groups or certain fake groups that we've made up have. And everything in the church, mainstream church, is not about the gospel anymore. It's about making our problems idolatrous. This is nothing new. Now, why would a minister who's supposed to be faithful to the gospel, or a leadership team that's supposed to be faithful to the message of the gospel, that there are two people in the world, those who know they're dirty and sinful and have gone to Christ to be clean, and those who haven't? Your main problem is that you're a human being who's sinful before an almighty and holy God.
Right.
And only Jesus Christ can take away that guilt and that confusion and make you clean and make you someone who's productive once you're saved. Why would they get into this social justice concept? Give everyone an excuse. I'm too fat. I'm too short. I'm too dark. I'm too white. I can't dance. I can't sing. All these disabilities that they make up because it brings in the money. People like to be declared innocent. Now, I walked in, you were talking about some problems in the neighborhood and problems that happen in some of the buildings around here. Because they've been fed social justice nonsense for over 50 years. Nothing's your fault. You're never going to make it. Don't even try. The man, whoever it is holding you down. So if you're a white man, oh, it's those blacks, it's those Jews. If you're a Jew, oh, it's those Christians, it's those Europeans. Right? If you're black, oh, it's the man. Well, look around. Things have changed. If you want a job and you work hard enough, you can actually get one. Maybe not the job you want, but you'll get a job. We don't have people in white hoods chasing people around now. Not out in the open anyway. You can do a lot more than you were able to do. So stop with the social justice garbage. It's made its way into the church because it makes money. It preys on your emotions. Pastors of all colors and creeds and ethnic backgrounds make money firing up their people, telling you it's impossible. We need to make a movement. Well, how are we going to get this movement started? Give me the money. And we'll join an organization, another union, another fellowship for social justice, not for spreading the gospel. You want to see your family change? You want to see your marriage change? You want to see your people change? Give them the gospel.
Amen.
That's why they keep you angry and stupid and use slogans and get away from Scripture. You think how twisted the church is. We have churches getting involved with taking down American flags because it's a sign of racism and oppression and what we did to this people and that people. But they're flying rainbow flags. They'll put their lives on the line and fight so grown men can sodomize each other. But they're against the American flag. But it makes money. Just fire somebody up, get yourself a church website, and the money starts coming in. People don't like to be held responsible. Why do I suffer? Because I'm a sinner who lives in a sinful world.
Right.
If people start to take responsibility for themselves through the gospel, their lives change. Their conditions actually improve. Not wealth and health, where you'll have $1 million tomorrow, but you'll live better.
Amen.
You'll do much better if you hold on to the gospel and the gospel concept.
Amen.
Now, where did this social justice stuff and feeling bad for ourselves, where did this all start? Back in the Garden of Eden. What did the devil say to Eve? The man is holding you back. Take of that fruit. You know why he doesn't want you to eat that fruit? He's holding you back. Because once you eat that fruit, you'll get what you need. You'll get what you want. The man is holding you down.
Just like him.
And she fell for it. And so did her stupid husband. And we're copying these same sins. We're falling for it. They are purposely trying to start a race war in this country. Now, you know why we can never have a race war? Because there's only one race, the human race.
Mm-hmm.
We're not black and white and Asian and Hispanic. We're human beings.
That's right.
We're one race. It's not humans and aliens. We're one race. But they're trying to start this fake race war, and the liberal, godless church is going to jump in. And they're going to make all the money they can off it. So you'll have white churches circling the wagons, you know, those blacks and the black crime rate and all this. And you'll have the black churches circling the wagons, you know, those crackers out there and in government. And the Hispanics, they're dividing us because they feed on your emotions. That's why we go back to this. Don't be emotional. Stand on the word. The economy is already imploded. And it's going to implode again. And they need an excuse to control people. They need confusion. They need to blame it on something. That's why they're letting people of a very radical religion into Europe, into America. They want the streets on fire. And then you know what they're going to say? That's why all the money's gone out of the country. Not that we stole it all. People of all ethnic groups have stolen it, people in power. They want to blame it on the trouble in the streets. And you say, what in the world does this have to do with the Bible and the church? Because we're supposed to be about the gospel and God's business in declaring to all people, we're all sinners, no matter what your skin color or what where your family came from.
Right.
And that you need Christ, not your problem is where you were born, where you live. Now, can you have challenges in certain people groups? Of course. But are we here to make excuses? Is God going to excuse me if I went into gangsterism? The Italians, the original gangsters, sorry, my gangster rappers and all you people who like to take our names like Gotti and Nitty and all that stuff. We were doing it first. I understand this hip-hop gangster culture very well. Because that's what was here when my people first came here. Should I wear an Al Capone shirt? Should that be what I'm proud of? Should I come in here with a shark skin suit and a fedora on? But that's what they do. They promote the worst in cultures, not the best.
That's right.
And we have that happening today. That's why an idiot like Jay-Z or Nas or any other moron they're promoting, or Kanye West, he'll make the news. Who won't make the news? Ben Carson, they destroyed. Oh, we don't want that story. A black man born with brains, and he's not angry, and he had gifted hands, and he was one of the top neurosurgeons, pediatric surgeons. Oh, we don't want that. Put that on the back burner. Let's go get Jay up here. They don't want that. So they feed into the stereotypes. They are the real racists, the media.
That's right.
They are the real racists. Why do they hide Martin Luther King's speeches? Not the sound bites so McDonald's could sell hamburgers. We celebrate Martin Luther King Day. Come eat a Big Mac. Why don't they play the speeches? Because Martin Luther King Jr. was a Christian. That's politically incorrect. He was also a Baptist pastor, meaning that's also politically incorrect. Okay? Not only that, he was black. And hey, black people aren't supposed to make sense when they speak. Well, what did Martin say before the March on Wall Street, the Occupy Wall Street, I've told you this before. Listen to what he says in the sermons. He said, yeah, you want to take socialism away from the poor people. They got to pull themselves up by their bootstraps. But for rich corporations, they get government handouts. Mm-hmm. Make it fair all the way around.
Amen.
This was Occupy Wall Street 50 years ago. And the right way. So I'm telling you, it's coming. And we are the ones that will speak to this and speak the truth. But that's why pastors get involved. It makes money. Follow the money. This is a biblical principle. You want to see why people sell out? Follow the money. Follow their motivations. Follow their agenda. Why did Judas sell out Christ? Because Jesus Christ wasn't a social justice warrior. He wasn't just going to restore the kingdom to the Jews and get rid of those wicked Romans. He was going to restore his kingdom where everybody could come to him in faith and could be saved. He wasn't going to judge one as opposed to the other. Either you're a sinner redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ or you're not. So what did he do? He took the money and he ran. Judas sold him out for silver. And like I said before, at least Judas sold them out for real money. We take green pieces of paper now and sell each other out. And church leadership has sold the people out. You get whipped up and into a frenzy and you get no answers. So let's get some answers today. Let's wade through all this garbage that we're being told.
Yeah.
Now, what is the faith really about? How are Christians supposed to behave? How are God's people supposed to behave? Well, I printed out our New Covenant reading, which is Titus verses 10 through 12, chapter 1. And this is Paul speaking, warning Titus. Now, you tell me if this is politically correct. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. Whoa, that's anti-Semitic. Whose mouths must be stopped. Who subvert whole houses, teaching things they ought not. Why? For filthy lucre's sake. The Benjamins, the money baby, that's what they want. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. Paul is insulting people. He's insulting whole cultures. Why? Because they weren't representative of the gospel. Your culture, the good things in your culture, no matter what your ethnic background, if there's anything good, I guarantee you take it and it will line up with the Bible.
Yeah. Amen.
If it's not good, it doesn't line up with the Bible. All cultures are not equal. They are not equal. I am of an Italian background. I am preaching in a Baptist church. Why didn't I stay Roman Catholic? They're my people. They're my people. Every pope except two has been Italian. Because I don't play games with God. He doesn't play games with me. I look for truth. I don't care what the color of the group is or what ethnic background they are. Baptists focus on the word, they always have.
Right.
I want the word. I don't want my people. I don't glorify what's wrong with my people.
Amen.
I'm not going to wear the Al Capone shirt next week. You go for what's in the gospel. Now, there are values in my culture that are good, but they line up with the gospel. The importance of the family. At one time, the respect for the father. The abundance of children that Italians used to have before they became paganized. Now, they can't even have enough kids to replace themselves.
The food.
Yeah, some of those Parmesan dishes are godly. You ever taste one? So we take the best from our culture and throw out the rest, what doesn't line up with the gospel. Amen. We all got something good, and we all got something bad. You know that story I used to tell you, also politically incorrect, when the British army first went into India, and some of them still have that practice. Do you know in Hinduism, in certain sects, excuse my Brooklyn accent, if the husband dies, the wife is burned, along with the husband's dead body?
Oh.
So, yeah, well, you didn't learn that in school, right? So, the colonel who was in charge at that time of policing the region, he said, look, hey, we all have freedoms. We all have freedoms to practice our culture. But we're telling you, you can go ahead and try and burn your wives because you're of the Hindu culture. And then we being Christian and knowing that's wrong, we're going to hang you after. So you can enforce the practices of your culture, and then we're going to enforce the practices of ours. So guess what? Women stopped being burned. Amen. Because the British soldiers took them and hung them.
Amen.
Not all values and all cultures are equal. Some are better than others. I reject what's wrong with my culture and my people, and I embrace Christ.
Amen.
And if I find it in another culture or another people where they're glorifying God and they have biblical principles, I latch on to them.
Amen.
Is that so hard?
No.
It sure is, because we have a darkened heart and we feed and we listen to the idiot box and opinions on TV.
Right.
Can't even joke around anymore. I go to work and it's funny. You know, you hear, it's great. It's been a blessing living in New York, because I go to work. And I go to my roll call, and my boss is African American. And 9 out of 10 people at the roll call are African American. And I walk in and I joke, well, the token white guy's here, and everybody laughs. No one gets offended. We're men, we joke around. I don't care what the color of the people are at my job. I wish CNN would show it to show that, hey, minorities have jobs and responsible. Stop showing the riots.
Amen.
And the rap concerts that go bad. Mm-hmm. So let's get away from all the trash. Stop being influenced. Why do they do it? The money comes in. I'm not going to make money for this church preaching like this, telling the truth. Now, if I jumped on board and I made white people angry and Hispanics coming in, or I jumped on board and I became one of these fake liberals and made black people angry that the man is the source of your problems, do you know how much money would come into the church? I could quit my job tomorrow. People like the fleshly stuff. They'll give the money. We don't get involved in that. Now, you talk about a politically incorrect book. Titus was a young preacher going into Crete. That's an island outside of Turkey. The Cretans were a rough group, even those who were Jewish. That culture, to call someone corrupt, you could say, oh, they're Cretanized. Oh, you're such a Cretan. They were savages. Everything was a backdoor deal and a lot of problems going on. Did Paul tell Titus to go to Crete and apologize to everyone? You know, the Greece mainland is what's holding you down. That's why you stab each other in the back. That's why you act like crazy, like a box of Fruit Loops. It's not your fault. You're a victim. No, what did Paul say? Go up to him, tell him, call him out. You see the problems with your people. You see the problems. I have a solution. It's called the gospel.
Amen.
Start loving your neighbor as yourself. And all these things will go away. Even with the witnessing here, we know there's problems here. We got to bring tracks to the building. I've been saying it for the longest time. We don't just go on the boardwalk to the tourists. Let's witness the people around us. So as far as the doctrine is concerned, the Church of Jesus Christ must always be vigilant against corrupting the Word of God. Congregations must realize the devil will use false teachers to corrupt the church in two major ways. The first is by introducing serious doctrinal errors into the church. The second is by introducing disgusting cultural practices into the Christian life and worship service. This is always done for their personal benefit over that of God's people. All cultures are not equal. Cultures that are influenced by the gospel are superior to those that are not. The gospel of Jesus Christ trumps all cultures.
Amen.
And by that meaning, a decisive overriding factor, a final resource. So this is how they play the game. They make you angry in two ways to make their money. This is how the church is corrupted. False teaching. Okay, false doctrine. And then disgusting cultural practices. You don't think we need this teaching today? One of your big social justice warriors, that type of church today, which is, they're just increasing their membership, and I'm not one to start trouble and name names, but Hillsong Church in Manhattan. They turned their church into a rave party. And now I know because I used to, when I was younger, and very young, I used to bounce these parties. I was too young to drink, but you know, I would do security. And I remember these were crazy kids. And again, don't get into the culture thing because they were white kids going nuts, taking drugs, drinking, nitrous oxide shots, all types of stuff, like any drug. If there was a paint can, they drink it. If there was anything, it was insane. But this is what Hillsong has turned it into. This is what they've turned it into. So you go to Hillsong Church, and it looks like a club, complete with the line to get in, complete with the security outside, complete with the techno music inside, and they call this church. Should they be bringing these cultural practices into the church? So that's what I mean by disgusting cultural practices. And then as far as false doctrine, you ask Hillsong about the LGBT agenda. Well, I don't know. We really don't need to speak to that. They're fully on board. They're making so much money in Australia, in New York. I think they expanded into Canada. Is this godly? So why do they have so much money and so many times we're broke? Because we're preaching the truth. We're not preaching to the flesh. And we don't want our people controlled by garbage, by trash. And that's what these people are doing. A big trend today since the 60s. Hey, you got to fight for everything. For the seal, for the panda. A gorilla gets shot to protect the kid. They're ready to kill the parents because of the gorilla. This is what we do. All these rights. We fight for animal rights, black rights, Hispanic rights, white rights, Asian rights, dogs' rights, cats' rights, rights of perverts, rights of pedophiles. What about the rights of King Jesus?
Amen.
What about his rights? Maybe the church forgot about that. That's why we're in the mess we're in. That's why Martin bought a bullet. That's why they shot Martin Luther King, and that clown Jesse Jackson is still walking around. Because that's their man. He's the point man all the time. They pick up a dumb cause and then make the whole group look stupid. Al Sharpton is another one. Hands up, don't shoot. Complete lie, the whole scenario. There are so many real instances of a black person being shot that was unjustified. Yes. But they don't grab that on purpose. That's the game. They grab the one when they have videotape with a kid acting like a thug. They do it on purpose to make you look stupid and shoot you down. And we all do this. We know Italian people. Opera, the arts, the famous artists, just everything. The culture involved in Italian culture. What's the first thing as an Italian American people say to you when they come up to you? Hey, you know, I saw The Godfather. What about Leonardo, Donatello, not the Ninja Turtles, the artists? What happened? What about the Sistine Chapel? What about the advances in medicine? What about the Medicis? What about the governmental ingenuities that Italy came up with? What about the strong nation states they used to have? The Godfather, the Corleones? Do you know any other Italians besides those in the Godfather movie? Yeah, Casino. Did you see Casino? Hey, I named my son Donald. Oh, Donnie, like Donnie Brasco. No, not like the gangster Donnie Brasco. Donald, like Donald. So we all get it. We all get it.
Amen. Amen. Good brother.
Some reasons. I want a reason with you. We need to confront these people. We need to say the gospel is what we need.
Amen.
All people need the gospel.
Right.
If you're a young man, don't be angry. Be a Christian. Get a job. If you need two jobs, get two jobs. Find a young Christian lady, if you're a young man, who thinks like you, who loves the Lord, get married, have children, have a strong family. That's what you do. That's the foundation of the church.
Amen.
That's the foundation of society. You ever see all these social justice people and this new movement in the church? You know where they came from? That's the babysitting generation. That's the daycare generation. Their parents went after the American dream and stuck them in daycare. Now, by God's grace, I was in public school. I'm not picking on people who were raised in daycare or those are the circumstances you had. But that fomented a problem. When you're in daycare, who gets the most attention? The kid that cries.
Right.
The kid that makes trouble.
Right.
Mom's not there. Dad's not there. There's 50 kids with one crazy lady taking care of us. How am I going to get some attention? Ah! Throwing stuff. And this is how they act in their movements. And this is how the church acts. The church is a bunch of crybabies. Lord, we need this. I need a healing for my big toe. You gave me a car, but I need a nicer ride. You gave me a house, but I'm claiming that bigger house. Are you crazy? You look at how Christians live in other lands and the way we live here, and you're going to ask for those things? Now, it doesn't mean you can't have them. It doesn't mean you can't pray for healing. If you're like my wife and I were at one time with five kids in a one-bedroom apartment, you could ask for a bigger apartment. It's okay. But that's not the main thrust.
Right.
Stay focused on the gospel.
Amen.
I heard something like that. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all these other things shall be added unto you.
Praise the Lord.
But they want the stuff first. They want the stuff first. I came to church, I didn't get the car, I didn't get the house, I didn't become famous, you lied to me. Now watch, I told you before, these wealth and health preachers, watch them start getting knocked out. When this economy crashes, you watch people riot at their churches. Who bought six Joel Osteen books and now they're laid off and they're broke? Watch. You're laughing now, it's coming, trust me. So I have some questions for you. I'm telling you, you need to confront these people. You'll fight for everything. But for the Lord Jesus Christ. Was Jesus nice to those who were victimizing the people? Was the Lord Jesus Christ gentle with false teachers? All the people that made money on the What Would Jesus Do bracelets? WWJD. Only $7.99 plus shipping and handling. Oh, real spiritual. What would Jesus do when he's confronted by false teachers?
Throw those tables over.
I'll tell you what he would do. Turn to John chapter 2, and then we'll jump to Matthew chapter 23. Let's look at the love Jesus, like I say, the bumper sticker Jesus, the Jesus who doesn't want you to change a bit, just walk into Hillsong Church and party like a rock star, stay the way you are. Let's see what Jesus did when he came to his people, and they were being unfaithful. This is John, the Gospel of John, chapter 2. What does Jesus do? This is after his nice miracle of changing water into wine and after the marriage that was at Cana. People focus on that and then they stop reading the Gospel. Why? Because it doesn't fit their agenda. Let's read. John chapter 2, verses 12 through 17. After this, he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brethren and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, put that belt together, that whipping belt, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep, and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables. Whoa, what happened to turn the other cheek every time, all the time? And said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. It's always for the money. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thy house hath eaten me up. So here comes the love Jesus, accepts you as you are, you don't have to change, sees his people. At that time, you needed to use the coin that the Jews wanted you to do for it to be accepted. You couldn't use pagan money. So they would switch the money for you, they'd change the money, and they'd take just a little fee for themselves. Mm. And they were making a killing. And they were ripping off the poor. Sound familiar? Mm-hmm. With these banking practices, ripping off the poor. I know you've never heard of that before. And it was in the church ripping people off. So what does Jesus do? Oh, you're my people, you're so wonderful. I accept you as you are. Really? Made a belt, good old switch, got the belts down from Georgia, said it really hurt. Started whipping them. Whipping them, flipping tables. Why don't I see this in a devotional? Why won't this be the main sermon at, what's the other clown? Forgot his name. It's like old school's best friend. But anyway, why won't I see this devotional as a devotional? Tossing tables, whipping people. Now, it wasn't all the time, but it was to get that type of leadership out of the church. They were dirty. We do the opposite in the church. We beat up the people on the street that need help, and we point at them, we make fun, and we laugh, and then we leave a zoo in our church. You have to be the opposite. Have mercy on the gangbanger, the drug dealer, the prostitute, the corrupt businessman. Go up to them, love them enough to give them the gospel at least once. That's how you change the world. But inside the church, those things don't fly.
Amen.
We don't deal with that. All right, Pastor, that was a special instance. He was cleansing the temple. But he didn't really speak like that to people. Let's go to his people. Hey, by the way, everybody's a little concerned with their people. My people, your people, my people. Who helped put Jesus on the cross? His people. So focus on truth. And stop focusing on your own. Christians are your own. Matthew chapter 23. We don't speak to each other like that. We're not rude. What would Jesus do? I got my bracelet on. We can't read the whole thing. You can do the rest at home with just a couple of verses. Jesus is teaching, and then he lays into the Pharisees. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. Revolutionary in the world. Every king wants to be served. Every queen wants to be served. Jesus, the king of the universe who owns everything, came to serve. That's to be your attitude. You want to be recognized by God? Serve people. Serve people. It's not all about you.
Amen.
And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! In the Greek, play actors. Dirty play actors. Liars. For ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. For ye devour widows' houses. There goes that money thing again. And for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Like these crazy cable channels spend all this money to spread heresy. Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the moolah, the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? Is any of this complicated, by the way? I'm just curious. And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing. But whosoever sweareth by the money, by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift of the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar, sweareth by it, and by all things thereon. And whoso shall swear by the temple, sweareth by it, and by him that dwelleth therein. And he that shall swear by heaven, sweareth by the throne of God, and by him that sitteth thereon. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Is this friendly? Am I wrong when I talk about that Sunday school march that they had, that I said we'll never participate in that again? It was godless and disgusting. Just to get money from the people and no gospel teaching? We're not participating in that anymore. It might have been godly at one time, but what I've been seeing the last couple of years is not godly. And where's the money going? We didn't get any money to start a Sunday school. We gave money. Where did the money go? Where's the Sunday school they started for the building across the street? Or some of these other tenement buildings that are having problems right now? Where is the money? It's in somebody's bank account or under their mattress. But it's not going back into the community. That's what we got to do. We have to have a march for some type of nonsense. Get it on the internet. I have some connections. Get it on cable TV. The money will be pouring in. Just saying that, like I see the smoke coming off me. I'm just joking. But the point is, that's how they make money. Just find an issue that makes people angry, bring it into the church, and the money will come in. So I don't think Jesus was gentle with false teachers. So what would Jesus do? Point number two, or question number two, is sound doctrine still essential for the church in our day? Is it all just about getting people in any way we can get them in? Is that what it's about? That's what it's been about the last 40 years. It doesn't work so well. Do you see real changes in families and society? We spend so much money on programs and institutions and cable shows and radio shows, and the marriage rate is worse than it was in 1960. The illegitimacy rate is worse. The morals of people is worse. So I ask you, what in the world are they doing in the churches? Turn to 2 John. These are letters that John wrote to the churches to warn them. Listen to what I'm telling you now, as angry as it might make you. Listen to what I'm telling you now, and then listen to this letter from John. Very short book. You can read it every day. It reminds you of how you're supposed to treat heretics that want to kill the flock. John told us. 2 John chapter 1. There's only one chapter. Verses 7 through 11. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. How many people have had a knock at the door by Jehovah's Witnesses? I always give them a gospel tract. I'm always polite. I had one guy come by one day who was really aggressive. I gave him a Bible tract. I said, I'm a Christian. You want to talk about the Bible? I'll talk about the Bible anytime. We could talk right out here on my stool. But as far as your books and stuff, we could talk about it, but they're not coming in my house. He goes, oh, you're a pastor. I said, yeah, I am. And we started having a conversation. I'm like, look, you keep giving me your spiel. You don't want to talk about the Bible. So I'm going to close the door now. He stuck his foot in my door.
Oh, no.
I am not a heretic. I'm not a pagan. I know my Bible. I am not a pacifist. So he stuck his foot in the door. He goes, no, you really need to hear what we have to say. You should really let us in. And I'm not lying. I said, look, I'm a Christian. I gave him the same spiel. I said, I know my Bible, including not being a pacifist. Get your foot out of my door before I take your foot out of my door.
True.
He got a Christian lesson. I'm there to protect my home and my family. Who says that we let people walk all over our wives or our children?
Amen.
That's paganism. Sharing your wife, sharing your children. Letting people walk right in. Like a big wimp, a big doormat. I don't know what type of Christianity that is. It might be paganism. It's not Christianity. We don't share our wives. We don't share our children. We protect our flock. We don't do that. You think I'm lying? I just read you what Jesus did, physically did, and what he said. And that's what John tells you. Don't let him in. You're not being a Christian. Oh, come sit at the table. Have coffee and cake. Teach all this disgusting heresy to my wife and children. You don't let him in. In your house or in the church. You know these prophets go around asking for money. They're going to give you a prophecy. How you're... career is going to go, how your health is going to go. They always contact us. We had a type of church, remember, they wanted rent from us. Mm-hmm. You think we're going to let that in here? Mm-hmm. You think they're going to muscle their way in here? Mm-hmm. They'll take me away in handcuffs before I let people come in and attack my flock and take your money. I tell you, take your money. Find the poorest person on your block. Find the person in need. Give it to them. I don't want your money. You think I'm going to let you give it to a false prophet?
True.
But people let him walk right into the church. Oh, that's a brother in Christ. That's a sister in Christ. That's a nut job. Don't let them in. So sound doctrine is still essential. A third and final question. How badly has the social gospel damaged the church? Did we let the culture influence the church on this issue? Now, I'm going to shock you right now. I'm telling you, I'm going to shock everybody with God's words. Everybody wants to give money to anyone and everyone. Oh, this person needs money, give them money. This person asks for money. You know why men don't like to come to church? Retired men that had a job, or men that are working, or men that are budgeting. Because they come to church, they're responsible. We have this whole social gospel movement. We're supposed to give all your money away to all these causes and all these people. And half of them don't work or don't want to work. They're like allergic to work, or they're allergic to serving. And then men are supposed to walk in and give their money to somebody. That's what the churches have become. We're giving to this cause, we're giving to that cause. Yeah, my car's dying, I can't feed my kids, I have no health coverage. You're penalizing me for having a job. And you see it. You see it. A guy comes in, responsible guy, couple dopes sitting next to him, and they're giving him dirty looks. Who are you to have a jacket on? Who are you to have a job? Like, that's so wrong. Now let me show you how backwards the culture is. The social gospel is, don't worry about the word right away, just feed people, give out money, do all these things. Yeah, that's great after they've gotten the word. And I always, from time to time, read the feeding of the 5,000, which happened not once, twice Jesus did that. He gave the word first. They were willing to listen to his words and his commandments. Then he felt bad and fed them.
Right.
He didn't feel bad and feed them. And keep feeding them, and keep feeding them. And he approached people like that. What did Jesus say? They chased after him to make him king. After he multiplied the food, he said, you don't want me, you want welfare. You want the food. You don't want my words. There's nothing wrong with welfare, properly given out. But that's not what the church does. You want to hear about a widow? You want to hear the biblical description of a widow? Remember, we give money to anybody. Let's listen to God's description of a widow who deserves to have money given to her, as far as the church is concerned. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5. Again, don't be mad at me. Be mad at the Word of God. If you haven't heard this before, it's not your fault. You need to hear it. You didn't have someone that loved you enough to read these verses to you. I'm shocked when I read them. I was raised in New York. We give money to everybody and everything. No questions asked. But is that how the church is supposed to function, even if the government's doing it? And by the way, my family had received a welfare for a time when my father left the home. I'm not embarrassed to say that, but it was a good investment. My brother and I didn't stay victims forever. I have a job. I'm a a professional. I have a professional job. I preach here. My brother's a school teacher, a coach. It was a good investment. We didn't stay on welfare for 10 generations.
Amen.
Before people start getting into that social warrior, justice warrior thing, oh, he brought up welfare. He must not like welfare. That's not what I'm saying. Look at the church's definition of who qualifies to get something, even when it comes to an older woman. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 3 through 16. Hold on to your hats. Honor widows that are widows indeed. Not any lady who's later in her years. Hey, I need some money. What are you going to do with it? Buy crack, buy liquor, pay for you and your boyfriend to go out and eat? I don't know what you're doing with it. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home. And how do they do that? And to requite their parents. You take care of your own if you can. Don't throw it on the church. For that is good and acceptable before God. Now, she that is a widow, indeed, and desolate, trusteth in God, and continueth in supplication and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. We're getting these qualifications for what type of woman is to get this money. And these things give in charge that they may be blameless. Oh, whoa, we can't read this one today. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Did you hear what I just read? How can these churches that put up the pictures of hungry people on the internet and don't teach the gospel but just want to feed their soup kitchen and the pastor's pockets justify what they're doing? Let not a widow be taken into the number under 60 years old. That's 60. Having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, look at this description. If she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. Whoa. So maybe we just don't throw money at everybody. But the younger widows refuse. For when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house. Women don't gossip. And not only idle, but tattlers also and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will, therefore, that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some are already turned aside after Satan. If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let him relieve them, and let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. When have, by a raise of hands, when have you ever heard this read in the church? Raise your hands. Why? Because we're a social gospel, social justice warrior, godless church now, the mainstream church. You work. You need 2 jobs, you get a second job. There's no excuse. I was laid off from work. I went back to the same job I had when I was in college. I was frying chicken and delivering pizza with a master's degree instead of complaining. You have whole churches built up on just giving money out, taking money from around the country, from the neighbor, just giving that money out without even knowing who they're giving the money to. Why was Paul and God so concerned with young women marrying and being involved with the family? Has there been anything more destructive in the church and society than the single woman as a parent? Are we not beating our women to death? That was the whole trick. Oh, you're going to have equality. Yeah, right. You're going to work for us. That was the message from the men. You're going to work for us. You're going to get taxed. And then you're going to do all the mother stuff anyway. That was a lie. You got 2 jobs. You didn't get one. Does this mean a woman can't work? Of course not. Of course not. Listen, I fight with my daughters all the time. You got to do your schoolwork. You have to go to school. You got to get a degree in something. You need to procure something that you can supplement your family's income, and when your kids are grown, you have your own career if you choose to have a family. That's not what we're saying. But you can't have it all.
Right.
You can't have four or five kids and throw them in daycare and get another generation of social justice warriors in the church that needed your hugs and your kisses and your guidance and your tenderness. Nobody takes care of the children like mama.
Amen.
Mothers were something sacred. We desecrated them. It used to be, right, in our day, even if you said something, you want to fight, say something about someone's mother. All bets are off. You can make fun of me. You can say I'm short. You can say I'm plumpy, whatever, right? Whatever you want. Talk about my mother. I don't care if you're 6'8", 300 pounds, if I got to jump on your face and bite you. That was the sacredness that mothers had. Look at them now. A mother can't even walk down the street with her kids by getting hit on by some slobs.
That's right.
I want to take a baseball bat out of my car when I see that. Walking with the stroller and little kids. Hey, girl. Hey, girl. Where's my Louisville Slugger? I'll take care of this. Disgusting. Nothing sacred anymore.
Amen.
So that's the social gospel. And this came about in the early 1900s. And the social gospel is socialism. And socialism is what the communists push. It's what the Nazis push. It's what Republicans and Democrats both push with their New World Order. That's their agenda. And the churches that are whores are jumping right in. You might as well have a CIA agent as your pastor with what they're teaching. Because everything is the government rhetoric. Don't resist, don't do this, don't speak up, don't be offensive, don't offend them. How can you be a Christian without being offensive? We offend everybody.
Amen. That's right.
We preach against sin. Everyone's a sinner. We're going to offend everybody.
Amen.
All right, enough of that. I don't want to visit at my house. So some applications. We asked our question. Is this, are you seeing how this is applied today, how relevant it is? It's the same scheme of the devil. It's not you. You're not sinful. The man wants to hold you back. And all the groups play it. And it's crazy to see. Everybody's angry. And everyone's stupid. And you're all going to be controlled anyway if you fall for that. So application, do not let pagan cultural theories influence your congregation. Boldly correct the cultural Marxists, social justice warriors, and perverts in the church. I told you the movement is coming. We have the adulterous pastor. He can have three girlfriends. The congregation openly accepts him. We have the gay pastor. We have the lesbian pastor. If that wasn't perverted for you enough, we're going to get the pedophile pastor. It's going to happen. Guaranteed. 2013, on Mother's Day, I opened up my sermon saying, I'd like to wish all the mothers a happy Mother's Day, but I don't want to offend anyone. So if there are any mothers here that really feel like fathers, I want to wish you a happy Mother's Day too. Remember that? I went in this whole spiel. All these different, you can't even say happy Mother's Day. It might offend someone. There might be a mother on Tuesday, a daddy on a Wednesday, and then a child on Thursday. And everyone giggled, and now I read you the story about the guy who divorced his wife, became a little girl, and is living adopted by a family. He's a truck driver who's a little girl during the day, complete with makeup and pigtails, built like me with pigtails. And he says he's a little girl. And the social justice warriors are supporting him. Well, that's his gender identity. It's coming. Do not let these theories get into the church. Point number two for application. Now, I don't care if it's controversial. This is right, especially for the men. That's why men don't come to church. The church has become a big mama. Just welcoming everybody in. Where's daddy? When mama's in trouble and she needs him. It is righteous to physically throw out demonic teachers who refuse to repent or leave the congregation. Pacifism is a heresy foreign to Christianity. Like I told you, if someone's going to come in here and they're telling me they're a Christian pedophile and we have all these kids around, they'll be asked to leave nicely the first time. The second time, they'll get a size 9.5 boot in their rear end and thrown down the stairs, and we'll make a call to the police that we have a pedophile around our children who doesn't want to leave. And we've done it before. The same thing for the men who have a fiancé, girlfriend, wife. Mr. Player walks in. You're trying to sit there with your wife and enjoy the sermon, and he's just oogling and eyeballing her. And then after the service, instead of hugging you, he hugs your girl. You think I'm going to stand there and watch that? We've had it happen before. Those people ain't here anymore because I'm not a pacifist. I defend my flock. You should be able to come here and sit and safely listen to a worship service.
Amen.
I tell them we have zoos, the Bronx Zoo. We have all types of zoos. You want a zoo, go to the zoo. You want a sermon, you want to sit and listen to the word of God, come here.
Amen.
Animals go in cages.
Right.
People who want to hear the word of God sit in seats and listen.
Amen.
We got to get away from all these garbage teachings.
Amen.
I'll leave you with one last scripture, and then we'll end the sermon. I know we're running over time, and I have a meeting with the president after the service.
Okay.
1 Kings. I read you Jesus' reaction to false teachers. I read you about John. Is this something new in the New Testament? Why were Elijah and Moses invited? Why was that vision of them that Peter saw when they appeared, Christ was transfigured and Moses and Elijah were with him? Why? Why those two? Because it was critical points in the history of God's people where they had a choice to make. It's either the devil and his people or God. So let's look at Elijah. Again, politically correct and peaceful. 1 Kings chapter 18. Verses 20 through 29. The wicked Ahab and Jezebel are destroying the nation through witchcraft. They're killing all of God's true ministers. Here is the showdown between Elijah, the only major prophet left, and all of these prophets of Baal, all these wicked, disgusting perverts that we now have in the church. So there is a cosmic showdown. And let's read what happens. Tell me I got the right, okay, I'm sorry, 18. Why did I say 15? Did I say 15 or 18?
You said 18.
Okay, good. Three doubles this week and it's very hot, I'm sorry. 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 20 through 29. Elijah on Mount Carmel. Let's read what goes down. So Ahab, this is the wicked king, sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. So they were scared. They wanted to see something. They weren't ready to make their choice. And Elijah came unto all the people. Okay. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only, remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. So it's 1 verse 450. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under, and I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, hey, we're Americans, we want to see it to believe it. It is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire on them. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, oh, Baal, hear us. Someone's sacrifice had to get lit up. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah, what did he do?
He mocked them.
And said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure, he's sleeping. Maybe your God's sleeping and must be awaked. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. You can read the rest of the story on your own. We had one man with a whole nation undecided against him, against 450. And all the leadership was against him. High noon, cosmic showdown. Whose sacrifice is going to be lit up? And when these guys couldn't do it because they were false prophets, he mocked them. They claimed to be spiritual leaders, and they weren't. So we see the principle in the old, and we see it in the new.
Amen.
Do not be afraid to name names. For those on the outside, be gracious and be merciful. To those that are working in the church to openly deceive people and take their money, confront them. Amen.
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 Almighty God, we thank you, Lord, that we have your word. We thank you that your word isn't always politically correct. We thank you, Lord, that you love us enough to correct us as sinners. We thank you that there can be unity amongst all people in Christ that are redeemed by his blood. We thank you, Lord, that you protect us, that you protect us from the schemes of the devil until we come together again next week as your family. And we always thank you in the name of your Son, our only King, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.